There is a passage of Scripture there that has always intrigued me and also always brought me under conviction. Matthew chapter 8. It's an amazing thing when we consider how people try to get attention. Just an amazing thing. I really don't mean to be too critical. I really don't, and I'm not saying this in a very critical spirit. But you know, you can't help but believe that people are trying to gather attention to themselves. They're trying to get somebody's attention, make a statement or something in the way that they dress today. And you know, if I was a teenager, unsaved, I'd probably dress just like them, because I was a teenager who was unsaved, and I did dress like the rest of the teenagers dressed back then. And so there's nothing to... Why would I think I'd be any different today? If I were a teenager unsaved today, I'd probably be the same way. But you know, as an adult, I look back and I realize that I was just trying to get attention. You know, I was just trying to say, hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at... Trying to draw attention to myself. I was trying to get somebody's attention. People are trying to make a statement today. Brother, I can't help but to believe when, you know, people wear their, guys and girls too, just about wear their pants plumb down to their knees. They're just starving for attention. I really believe that. They're just trying to get somebody's attention. I don't watch much TV, but I saw this on the television on the news just a day or two ago. There's this fad going around. I don't know if it's just a day thing or a 2-day thing, but pantsless. You can ride the subways with no pants on. I mean, with just your, just underwear. And what they said on the news was they were trying to make a statement of chaos and joy. You know, anybody that would participate in something like that is just starving for attention. They're just trying to get somebody to say, hey, notice me. Look at me. Purple hair, pink hair. And again, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying there's, you know, this is just people crying out. They're crying out. They're starving. The gothic crowd and the piercings all over the face and the tattoos all over. They're just trying to get attention. I remember trying to get my wife's attention when I was courting her. I did, you know, everything that I could to get her attention. And we try to get our boss's attention. But I think that the most important thing is, are we getting God's attention? You know, all of that other stuff, as Christians, we can throw it into the wind. Because nothing else really matters. I mean, now that we, you know, now especially now that we're adults, we realize what they're trying to do and starving for attention. But the only one that really matters is, am I getting God's attention? Brother, we've got an eternity to think about. We've got a heaven to think about. There is a whole lot more than what's on this side of eternity. And it's an amazing thing, if you stop and think about it too, how people try to get God's attention. I've knocked a lot of doors. I've talked to a lot of people. I've been in a lot of churches. And we find that people try to get God's attention in many ways. Many people try to get God's attention just simply by going to church, being a church attender. Many people try to get God's attention in certain clothing that they wear. They think if it looks religious, then God's going to notice that. The garb, the flowing robes, and so forth. A lot of people try to get God's attention simply by reading their Bible, reciting a prayer, by giving money, by tithing. A lot of people will give trying to get God's attention. People try to get God's attention by carrying a cross across America. You ever seen on the TV, you've seen in the foreign countries particularly, people will... They'll beat themselves as they crawl on their hands and knees toward a particular shrine or a particular place of worship, hoping to get God's attention. And in our day, we got people trying to get God's attention through baptism, through good deeds, through fasting, through keeping the Ten Commandments, and then again, strict, austere religion, even in our day. Now, none of these things move God. And I'm sure you've read this before and you've heard it, but maybe this coming from a fresh voice, maybe we'll get a different perspective on it or a fresh perspective, or maybe God will just hit us upside the head with this old truth in a new way. Amen? In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And let's pray just for a moment. Our Father, again, as we open up the bread of life, as we break the bread of life, I pray, Lord, that you would give us just your words to say. Help us to be a good steward of the time tonight, and not to bore folks with my opinions and my rabbit trails, but God, help us to say only what you'd have us to say. Speak to us and do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we're trying to get God's attention, there's only one way to do that. And that is through faith. The Bible says Jesus marveled. The word marveled is from a Greek word, translated from a Greek word, which I'm not a scholar, but I believe it's pronounced thumazo. Thumazo. And it literally means to admire. It means to wonder at. It means to look closely at. Jesus marveled. Faith moves God. If we're going to get the attention of God, if we're going to get God's attention, the only way that we're going to do that, the only time you ever see in the Bible where Jesus marveled, first of all, was at great faith. Was at faith. Faith. Faith moves God. Zeal's okay. Zeal's okay, but zeal does not produce faith. Faith produces zeal. Zeal does not produce faith. Faith is defined in the American Heritage Dictionary as belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidences. Faith is the bridge between heaven and earth. Now, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But let it strike a chord tonight that faith is the only thing that really gets God's attention. Faith is the wrench that opens the hydrant. Faith is to heaven what a key is to a locked door. Faith is the way to get God's attention. There are three kinds of faith, and we need all three of them. And first of all, I want to say that you must have saving faith. You must have saving faith. Now, some of you may be saying, now, Brother Stone, this is a Wednesday night. You're preaching to the choir. Well, I just want to tell you that you're looking at one man who walked into a church building on a Wednesday night unsaved and walked out saved on a Wednesday night. I don't ever want to get into the habit where I believe that everybody under the sound of my voice is saved when we really don't know that for sure. And so let's just talk about saving faith just for a minute, because I've met people who, I have met pastors' wives who confessed to me and my wife while we were on deputation. We were at a restaurant having lunch, having dinner one night after the service, and this wife, who was in the ministry for over 30 years, married to this man for over 40 years, confessed that she had just gotten saved a couple of years earlier, having been a pastor's wife for over 30 years. She grew up in a Christian home, and so she knew all the words to say. Everybody thought she was saved, but she knew in her heart she was not saved. And so I know that even in a crowd this size, there may be one or two or three or four who slipped in tonight, and you're not sure that heaven's your home. You may not be sure that you're saved tonight. And so I want to tell you that if you're going to get God's attention, it's not through attending this church. It's not through getting baptized. It's not through a rosary. It's not through prayers. It's through saving faith. You must be born again. You must be saved. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." It's called faith. And faith, there's a little measure of faith dealt to every man. Everybody has faith. You either have it, you either put it in God, you either place it in God, or you place it in yourself, or you place it in something, but you have faith. Romans 10:13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simple faith. Simple faith. Everybody knows John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Simple faith. It's just a childlike faith. My former pastor down in South Fort Worth, he used to simplify it. I don't think oversimplify it, but he used to simplify it just by simply saying, it's coming to God with a broken heart and saying, "I know I'm a sinner," and then looking up to God and saying, "Yes." Simply looking up to God with a broken heart, knowing that you're a sinner, knowing that you're on your way to hell, and just saying yes to what God has to offer, and that is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple faith. Therefore, being justified, the Bible says, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified simply means that you're right with God. Nothing in between. It's all wiped clean. I've heard the old saying, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Justified in God's eyes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law." Listen to this. "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." I love Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I tell you, it gets under my skin. We go out and knocking doors and we talk to people about their eternal destiny, and it just gets under my skin when I hear people say, "Well, I believe." I'm here to tell you, it really doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is, what does the Word of God say? Put your faith in the facts of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:4, "God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar." Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's simple faith. He marveled at his faith, the Bible says. He marveled at his faith. To get the attention of Jesus, simply believe. Look at John chapter 20, verse 29. Look at a verse there. I want to show this to you. I marked it because I wanted to make sure I didn't pass it by. I wanted to read this. In John chapter 20, verse 29, listen to what Jesus says to Thomas. You know Thomas, you know his first name is Doubting. Thomas is his last name. Everybody knows him as Doubting Thomas. But then when he saw Jesus, then when he was able to put his hand in his, touch the scar in his hands, the holes in his hands, and see the sword prints in his side, then he believed. And look what Jesus said to him. In verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I'm telling you, if you're sitting in here this evening and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not going to move the hand of God. You're not going to move the heart of God. You're not going to touch God until you just believe. Just put your faith, simple faith, having never seen Him, having never touched Him, just put your faith in Jesus Christ tonight. Secondly, we must have serving faith. There's saving faith, but then there's serving faith. Serving faith. Exercise the faith you have and serve. I'm telling you, some of us exercised a little bit of faith and got saved in a big way. But now we've got to exercise. We want to get God's attention as saved individuals. We still need to exercise our faith. Now we've got some serving faith that we've got to exercise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then are all dead." Listen to this. The love of Christ constraineth us. By faith we serve. By faith we do what we do for Christ. I don't do it. You know, maybe I get a paycheck as a man on staff, but I wasn't always a man on staff. And I'm telling you, I made a decision a long time ago when I got saved that I was going to serve Christ by faith, because there's a heaven waiting on me. Like I said earlier, there's an eternity that I got to think about. I'm not just here for this. This isn't all there is. I laid in bed at night before I was a saved man. I laid in bed at night knowing that there was more to life than what I was experiencing. And God allowed me to experience salvation and to realize that there is more to life than what we know right here. There's an eternity to think about it. And bless the Lord, I'm telling you, one day I was driving down the road and God opened up my mind and made me realize there is a purpose to life. And it has nothing to do with this life. My purpose in life has everything to do with eternity. I'm to live for Christ's glory. I'm to work for Christ's glory. And I'm telling you what, there's an eternity of rewards on the other side waiting on us too. But we need to serve. Serve. Folks, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about just going to church anymore. It's about serving God. It's about living for Jesus Christ. It's about putting Him first. It's about living for, it's serving the Lord by faith, realizing that there's an eternity, realizing that there's something else. It's serving God by faith. Colossians chapter 3 verse 22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord, not unto men." And He summons it up by saying this, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." By faith, I realize that everything I do down here has eternal consequences. Everything that I do here, it has eternal consequences. But let me ask you this, are you doing nothing? We ought to be doing something. Now, I don't mean to be cruel. I really don't. I don't mean to be unkind. I want to be as nice as possible. I'm not preacher, pastor, and I don't want to run anybody off. But I want to say this. You know what, folks? Sitting ain't serving. Sitting ain't serving. Boy, we've got a lot to do. This is God's church. This isn't Brother Crawford's dynasty. This is the Lord's church. This is your church. This is the church of God. There are no hands. God, you've heard the saying, God has no hands but our hands. God has no feet but our feet. Who's going to take the gospel to these multitudes of people, these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are out here within minutes of this church building? Who's going to take the gospel to them if we don't? It's going to take more than the 10 or 12 that showed up last night. It'll take more than the 1 or 2 that come out on Saturday. Amen right there, Brother Stone. Serve by faith, knowing your reward is of the Lord. Come on, folks. I'm not talking about sacrificing on the altar. I'm not talking about bleeding. I'm not talking about casting your child into the flame. I'm talking about just coming out and serving. Serving the Lord. There's a lot to do around here. Thank God for those who have signed up to say, "I'm going to help up yonder. I want to help in the junior church when it comes open." I praise the Lord for those who have helped. Thank God for Brother Forte who said, "I want to help in some way. Let me drive the van. I'll pick up the teens." What a blessing that's been. That's been a tremendous help. And he's serving by coming in early, going out and picking up the teens who wouldn't ordinarily get here and go up there and hear the gospel and praise the Lord get saved. But there's a lot more to do. Folks, you can serve. We need to serve by faith. We got to stop just sitting and serve. We got to serve. Come on out. Now I know, hey, I've only been here 10 months and there's a lot of you that quit coming out. There's a lot of you that quit coming out on Saturday and Tuesday. I'd sure like to see you get back, but I think that the Lord would like to see you get back too. Remember, it's not for me. It's not for Brother Crawford. It's for Jesus Christ. We serve by faith. And if we want to get the Lord's attention, if we want to get God's attention, that's all that matters. We need to serve. Serve by faith. You may not get a pat on the back here. You may not, maybe you won't be included in the teacher appreciation dinner. Maybe you're going to come in and clean a toilet. You know what? I preached a message on, who totes the gut wagon. You know, somebody had to take the gut wagon outside the camp. And that wasn't a nice job. That's a nasty job, but somebody had to do it. But I'm telling you, it was essential. It was extremely essential. And not all the jobs around the church and through the church and of the church are glamorous. They're not. But they serve the Lord. They serve the Lord. And that's what's important. That is the most important thing. They serve the Lord. Some of you can play your instruments. Some of you can sing. And we've got with as many people as we've got in here, I know that there's a tremendous amount of talent. But we've got a small repertoire of singers and musicians. And I praise the Lord for, sure is good to see Brother Larry coming up here and singing and playing your, what do you play? Baritone what? Horn, just horn. I'd have never guessed that. I'd have figured it was an oboe or trombone. A horn, he plays a horn. I love it. Absolutely love it. And he gets up here and he sings, and praise the Lord, and there's more of you that can. Well, I just don't know what people think about me. What would Jesus think? And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And the fact is, it is scary, but you'll overcome it. You do it enough, you'll overcome it. We had our soul winning class right in here. We taught, and we laid it all out there. We taught, and then when it was over, some never showed back up. You got the material. You got the tools. You got the knowledge. And we told you, we promised you we wouldn't throw you to the wolves. You wouldn't even have to talk. Just come along. Because we believe that it's better caught than taught. After a while, you'll get it. And after a while, you'll say, let me do that. I believe I can do that. I want to talk on this next one. Serving faith. Like Nehemiah said, it's a great work. It's a great work. But then there's also standing faith. We want to get God's attention, brethren. I'll tell you, we need to demonstrate standing faith. Standing faith. Think about Joseph, who had standing faith in the midst of rejection, in the midst of prison. I think about Daniel, who had standing faith in the lion's den. I think about Jeremiah, who had standing faith when God told him to go preach, and when he did, they threw him in a dungeon of affliction. And there are many of us that will go through the trials, and many of you will go through the fiery furnace. But a calm sea does not a good captain make. And God's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, and that means some bruises and some bumps. That means some mountains to climb and some deep valleys to go through. Life's not fair, amen? And neither is the Christian life fair. And we're going to get our share fair of heartaches and disappointments and crisis. And some people go through the trials and they cave in and they give up on God. The Word of God tells us wherefore, in the book of Ephesians, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. It's rough, I know it's rough. But we have to demonstrate standing faith. Those men bled red like we bleed red. And they hurt when they get hit. And when they get cursed at, and when they get ridiculed and mocked, it hurts them, just like it hurts us. But they stood, and they're examples for us, and we can stand and exercise standing faith and get the attention of God and watch God act on our behalf, just like He acted on the behalf of Joseph, on the behalf of Daniel, on the behalf of Jeremiah. Watch Him act on our behalf when we stand in the midst of those trials and in the midst of those fiery furnaces and in the face of the lions. Watch Him work for us as well. Standing faith. But I notice that there's one other reason that we can get God's attention. If you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. If we want to get the attention of God tonight, I'm telling you, you cannot do it through austere religion. You cannot do it through a multitude of prayers. And you cannot do it through giving your money and your tithe. And you cannot get God's attention through baptism. You can get it by simply believing. By placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By having saving faith, exercising saving faith. Simply coming to the altar or bowing your head and your heart wherever you are and saying, God, I'm a sinner, undone, in need of a Savior. Destitute. Desperate. Bound for hell. But I believe that You love me enough to send Your Son to die for me. and that He rose again the third day, and He secured my salvation, and I believe that You love me enough, and I'm accepting Him as my Savior. Simple faith. Man, I'm telling you, you're looking at a hardened boy when I got saved. Boy, I was 20 years old. I'd never been to church. I mean, Mom and Dad forced me to go. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad and my granddad and all his brothers, they were bootleggers. They really were. I mean, they made moonshine, and my dad sold whiskey in a dry county down in Tennessee. I grew up in that, and where there's that, there's other stuff. And I grew up right in the midst of that. And I'm telling you, God pulled me out of a pit and saved me when I was 20 years old. And I didn't have any concrete evidence. All I had was simple faith, and it was enough. I'm telling you, it was enough to change my life forever. Amen. Put my name in a book of life and change me forever. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. Amen. Set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth. Even praise, and many shall see it. Mark chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 1, And he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them. And he marveled, there's that word again. Why? Because of their unbelief. There's only two ways to get the attention of God. Number one is through faith. Simply believe. Exercise saving faith, serving faith, standing faith. And then the other way to get His attention is no faith. No faith. Why did this make Jesus marvel? Because these people were no different than the folks in Moses' day. I'm not going to take the time to go all the way back into the book of Numbers, but in the book of Numbers in chapter 21, let me just recap. In chapter 21, in the first three verses, you see the victory over the Canaanites. And then you see the Jews complaining again. And then they were delivered from Egypt with a mighty hand. They crossed the Red Sea. God gave them manna and water from a rock. There was no sickness as far as we know. Their clothes never wore out. Yet they murmured against God. Now I quoted a minute ago, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the two verses prior to that tell the whole story of Numbers 21. And as Moses, the Bible says in John 3 verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, back in the book of Numbers chapter 21, when they murmured against God after having seen all the miracles, after having experienced the great mighty hand of God, after they murmured, after seeing all that, yet they still murmured, God sent fiery serpents among them and it began to bite them and to kill them. And Moses prayed for them, and God commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a staff and raise it up. And then He said, whosoever would look upon that staff would live. And many of them looked and lived. Now you understand the verse. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus' staff was a cross. And whosoever looks by faith will live. However, in our day, we still have people who have seen many miracles. And the reason the Lord couldn't do many miracles in them, among them in His own country, because they'd seen the lame healed. They'd seen the blind given sight. They'd seen the mute given the ability to speak. They were there when the deaf were made to hear. They were there when the lepers were cleansed. They were there when Jesus raised to life their dead. They were there, and yet they still called him a devil and a wine bibber. The Bible says they were offended at him. Even though they saw all the miracles, they were still offended. Why does a lack of faith get the attention of God today? Because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm telling you, God is not some bully sitting up in heaven waiting to strike you dead. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God doesn't want you to die without Christ. That's an eternity in a devil's hell. God's not. Hey, God didn't create you for that. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And Satan fell because of pride. Lucifer fell because of pride. I will set my I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I'll set my throne upon the sides of the north. I will be like God. And God cast him down. And the Bible says that because of our pride, we cast ourselves into the same condemnation as the devil, which is an eternity in hell without God. But the Word of God also tells us that God is not, He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, it's just as amazing today as it was then that people would still doubt. Outside of the fact that the heavens declare the handiwork of God, I mean, outside of that fact, the Bible was calling the earth round while plausible science was calling it flat. Not to mention that some of the planets rotate in opposite directions. I'm talking about just obvious things, what ought to be common sense things for a person to believe in God. Not to mention the fact that some of the planets rotate in opposite directions, which blows the Big Bang Theory to pieces. Not to mention that the fact that the second law of thermodynamics says that everything lends itself to dissipation, which is totally contrary to the theory of evolution. Outside of the fact that a young earth is more plausible and credible than an earth which is millions and billions of years old. Outside of the intricacies of the human body, the gargantuous amount of information stored in one human chromosome. The millions of cells and nerves that make up our optic system alone. Outside of all of that, which ought to be evidence enough, outside of all of that, the best evidence of all, in my opinion, is a broken life restored. A broken life, a drunkard, a drug addict, a lewd and lascivious lifestyle, all made respectable. Only God can do that. I'm telling you, I've seen too many people trying to lift themselves up by their own bootstraps only to fall again. I've seen too many people go into jails. I've preached in many, many jails, and I've seen too many people make jailhouse religion, make a jailhouse profession, or try to enroll in some form of reformation or school or rehabilitation inside the jailhouse, and yet the recidivism rate is higher than it's ever been. The only ones that have a honest shot at making a clean break in life after they get out are those who literally get saved while they're incarcerated. I've seen God change lives. And that's more evidence to me, that's greater evidence, and that's greater proof than all the scientific evidence the Bible can put together. The fact that the miracles of a saved life. I've seen God perform too many miracles in the lives of individuals for me not to believe. I've seen it in my own life. I'm telling you, and the kids aren't in here, and so I don't feel as bad giving my testimony as I would if they were in here. I try not to glorify that too much. But I'm telling you, you're looking at a man who was strung out on dope. Gave my life over, not knowingly, just unknowingly gave my life over to Satan, to the devil. Strung out on dope, needles, and alcohol, in and out of jail down in Houston. And I'm telling you, I was headed for a devil's hell. Until somebody one day opened up this blessed book and just showed me the pure, simple, first time I ever heard the gospel message. And there was enough seed in my There was enough knowledge in my head and heart. I'd heard the Word of God before and saw it. My mother, what limited knowledge she had, shared some of the stories with me. And I always believed in God. and always believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I just never appropriated my faith in God. But on that day, April the 18th, 1984, I remember it like it was yesterday. I knelt down at an old-fashioned altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ, and He changed me forever. And I believe that the Bible is true, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things become new. Amen. I've seen God work in my sister's life, my mother's life, my wife's life. Isn't it amazing how God would take a young lady, and I'm done. Let me just wind this up. God would take a young lady from the killing fields of Cambodia when Pol Pot was going crazy, killing his own people. Take a little girl and during the Vietnam War and have a family in an Episcopalian church in Fort Worth, Texas, sponsor a family out of the killing fields of Cambodia and rescue them and bring them to Fort Worth, Texas so that 12 years later I could win her to Christ and become my bride. I'm telling you, it's a miracle of God how that He works in our lives. I'm telling you, it's just a miracle of God. I've seen Him work. The Bible says He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Brethren, God desires to do great things through Heritage Baptist Church. You know, many times we pray, I want to do great things for God. God's not looking for us to do great things for Him. God's looking to do great things through us. If we would just appropriate our faith. Our faith. Hey, you get saved, if you're here this evening and you've never been saved, it couldn't be easier, my friend. I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing. I've literally had people tell me, look me in the eyeball and say, that's too easy. And I said, well, I can't make it harder. It's easy. Just bow your head and heart. God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I trust You as my Savior. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. It's easy. You just got to be willing to step over your pride and get saved. And then for those of us who are saved, brethren, we need to exercise some servant faith. Some servant faith. This house ought to be packed on Saturday. Hey, give me some tracts. I'm going to go out and knock my area. I'm going to put some flyers on the door. I'm going to try to get some folks in. I'm going to witness to somebody this year. I'm going to get somebody saved. I want God to save somebody through me this year. Exercise some servant faith and see what God does. And then those of us who are going through the trials, stand. Stand. Don't give in on God. Don't give up on God. He's gonna break through. Just stand. Amen? Just stand. You are getting the attention of Jesus today, but how? Are you exercising faith or are you exercising no faith? Let's all stand together. Bow our heads for prayer.